Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, the Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. Please go to the website foundationathearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm S.G. Goodman. I'm a singer-songwriter out of Western Kentucky. Pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, my honor. Let's go back in time.
All right.
You grew up in Kentucky?
I did. I was raised in Kentucky. I was born right across the line in Tennessee in Obion County, and my dad's a farmer in Western Kentucky, and he still farms in Tennessee, actually, but my home address has always been in Kentucky.
It's your heart, too, huh?
It is, yeah. I mean, I have a very sweet spot for Western Tennessee, too, obviously, and because it was the closest, largest town, you know, had the place where we would do our shopping and stuff. I mean, I feel just as much indebted to that area, too.
Well, your area is kind of like going across the border. You don't know, like, are we in Virginia now or Tennessee?
Exactly.
I'm not sure.
I don't know either, because driving through here in my van, my GPS systems would say, welcome to Virginia a lot, and I'd just be, you know, taking a corner.
Yeah, exactly. So, SG.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Well, it's just initials for my name. For the music thing, I think that makes the most sense. You know, my birth name is Shayna, and a lot of people have a hard time pronouncing it and a hard time spelling it, so I just made it simple for everybody.
Reduce and simplify. Mm-hmm. I love it. As a kid, was music in your family, in your home?
I think it was in my family in a pretty typical way for that community. Every home seemed to have a piano. I think that kind of harkened back to a time when that was used for home entertainment. Families gather around, sing together. And my dad's a farmer, and so, you know, Hickman, Kentucky specifically, the town I was raised in, is less than 3,000 people, and it's a very rural place. So we'd spend a lot of time in farm equipment and trucks, driving around, looking at land, checking on the crops, and music was always in the background, at least. And I'd say I mostly got to know music through being raised in the church.
So you were in choir?
I had to be. Yeah, I was. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I don't have a formal education in music, and I always tell people that that's where I learned as much as they know. Just from watching other people and hearing the parts sing and, you know, being so familiar with the hymnal.
Do you envision and create a song and lyrics, literally, like you alluded to, driving around and tractors in the background or whatever?
Absolutely, yeah. A couple of things. One, if I record anything, I always take it down the back roads and play it out.
Really?
And see how it feels. Yeah.
Kind of field test it.
Yep, exactly. See how the, you know, land acts towards it. But I, you know, was raised farmer's daughter, spent most of my childhood outside doing manual labor, and even though I technically don't have to do that right now, I choose to. It's there's something meditative about working with your hands and being able to do something, not necessarily mindless, but something mm-hmm. that allows your creativity to come out while you're doing something productive.
Yeah, no, I know. I've been doing it all my mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to kill me to stop doing that.
I feel the same way. Yeah. I miss it so much, and being out on the road so much lately, I've really had a hankering for trying to get back out and do some work. Mm-hmm. I miss it.
I totally understand, because for me, it's that therapeutic mental mm-hmm. cleansing. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that going to the what people think is mindless mm-hmm. is therapeutic and gives you that clarity. Mm-hmm. That's probably where the visions come, right?
So much of it, I would say yes. I love people, and I am a people person, but I'm not an extrovert. Mm-hmm. So I think being out alone with some dirt and a task kind of allows me to ground myself and definitely aids in the creative process.
What a fascinating paradox. You know, here's this classic introvert that loves being out in the field, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But somehow there's this other side and this other need that allows you to go on stage and mm-hmm. not be petrified.
You know, and that was many years in the making, I would say. I would not claim to anybody that I've learned the art of performing. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be an ever ongoing process. But I do find a lot of joy into seeing people connect with what music came to me while I was, you know, working on a farm or mm-hmm. out in the woods. Mm-hmm. That's kind of special and just a way that I feel like I've been, I don't know, for lack of better words, called to give back or contribute.
As a kid growing up, what music first resonated with you? You know, what artist that you first started to follow and mm-hmm. wanted to emulate?
I mean, you know, I was a kid in the 90s, so a lot of the early kind of girl singers, Sheryl Crow, like Alanis Morissette, these powerful women that really kind of just reigned supreme at a certain time in music. I thought that was pretty cool. But I was raised on old country. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Patsy Cline, I love Etta James, I love Irma Thomas, I love these powerhouse women that sing like it's, you know, their only purpose in the world to share their voice. I've just always really connected with certain voices that seem like it's coming from somewhere outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. So I've always gravitated to that kind of music.
When you write lyrics, are you writing for yourself, basically?
I think that's always a, you know, just maybe depends on the circumstance. Sometimes you don't realize that you wrote that for yourself later, and I think your brain is playing a little trick on you so that you can write it. Some things are very personal. Some things, you know, you might be writing out like a heartbreak song before the heartbreak has come, so you don't want to think of yourself as like a fortune teller, but maybe you were.
So you look back and you're going, whoa.
Mm-hmm. I know something, you know, your heart could feel it, but your mind wasn't ready to see it for what it was, that kind of thing. So I'd say it just depends on the circumstance, and no matter what the method is of getting there, just let the process speak for itself, you know?
That's really powerful.
Thank you.
And was an instrument, a guitar, whatever, mm-hmm. always a part of you?
No, I actually picked up I was a ball player growing up. Uh-huh. And my mother was an excellent ball player growing up. Back when there wasn't like a 3-point line. My mother has, you know, back in our home county where we both went to school, she's like an all-time high scorer with just a 2-point system, you know. And so she wanted me to play ball, and I broke her heart about when I was 15. Say, I want to quit playing ball, I want to start learning how to play the guitar.
Oh, interesting.
I did take some piano lessons early on as a child, mm-hmm. but we kind of had an old school teacher there in my town who would, you know, you would have formal recitals where you'd curtsy and dress up, and I just wasn't, wasn't for me.
Yeah, no kidding. And how about other instruments? Do you ever pick up violin or mandolin? No.
I mean, I've picked up a lot of instruments, and I don't even consider myself, you know, I get by with what I know how to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd never claim to be a guitar expert or anything mm-hmm. like that.
So your guitar playing is almost to accompany you as a singer, right?
It is. My one instrument that I would say, you know, that I can stand next to any instrumentalist is my voice. And that's what I have, you know, learned to just kind of elevate that mm-hmm. with my playing. I don't think I'll live long enough to be able to be a lead guitar player or whatever, mm-hmm. but that's all right. We're not meant to do all things,
and
you know.
And it's acoustic.
No, I play an electric guitar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you prefer electric?
Well, I think you can feel it differently. I play an old Guild Starfire 4. I also play a Gibson 335 now. It's a newer one, but my Guild is my baby, and I really play the Gibson just to give it a break and maybe not put it in as dangerous of situations. But I like the neck. I love the way those old humbuckers sound in it, and I just think I tune everything down a whole step when I play, which is everybody's nightmare, including my own. You can't keep something in tune that way. The guitars really weren't built for that, but I think my voice sits over that nicely.
That's really cool.
And so that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. And when you're on the road performing, do you have people that are playing with you? Is it solo?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm in a rock outfit.
Okay.
So right now I'm a four-piece, and that's more economical than getting the whole ensemble up there. Maybe one day, you know, mm-hmm. get some record sales or something. I can come out and put on a big old show. But right now, with my van and I like the boys I'm running around with. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's a full rock show.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of musicians are struggling financially just because of the way the world works,
mm-hmm.
you know, people downloading music and not buying it and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
It's very tough, and you know, most record deals are still not built around that system.
Mm-hmm.
Units being sold, which means if you're spinning my tune on Spotify, you'd have to do that 150 times before that would equate to a sold unit.
Wow.
So you could see the uphill battle that is for an artist, especially an up-and-coming artist, which is what I'm probably referred to a lot of times. It's really important for people, and I know so many people support artists and want to do everything they can, and I always say the best way is to buy their record.
That's what I was going to ask. In a perfect world, how would you craft it? How would you create it so it would be financially remunerative?
Well, either, you know, I guess Congress would have to act to make streaming sites pay the artist, mm-hmm. you know.
Think that can and will happen?
I'm not sure. There's obviously some really big fish to fry right now in mm-hmm. the world, you know. I would like to see, you know, our government and companies realize, you know, the importance of art and respect the artists enough to, you know, give them what they deserve out of that. But as we know, a lot of times politicians, they are looking for the thing to keep them in office and not necessarily always do the work that people need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect world. It seems like in the here and now that going on the road and doing live performances would be one of the most remunerative as a musician.
Possibly. There's a lot to that. You know, it depends on what size you are. And
right.
everybody, we're still coming out of a pandemic. You know, festivals have been hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people, the old school folks who've been running festivals for years have not come back. So you have new hands and things can be a little shaky sometimes when you go out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm so glad and humbled that people still want to enjoy live music and support artists that way. I'm glad technology hasn't totally replaced that. So I think there's a lot of hope for things to kind of rebalance themselves. And, you know, music isn't going away, and it appears that people who want to see it play live, it hasn't gone away yet either.
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people, there's something therapeutic about it, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, when you go to a concert and you're seeing the human side of music being played. You know, I'm not a perfect performer, mm-hmm. and I never will be, and I won't ever present myself that way. I hope people enjoy as much as I do me turning around and getting a laugh out of my drummer or you know, maybe fumbling something, and seeing the human element, I think, is what's always so exciting about watching live performances. It's, you're in a vulnerable state with the audience, and I think they can feel that, and that's why I think it's addictive for so many people.
I know myself, as my time as a storyteller on stage, that even though it's a group, say at 500, that I'll dial in and look at one person in the eye. You're ultimately talking to or singing for one person, even though you're on stage. Does that a part of your brain thinking when you're up there?
Yeah, well, you know, at the stage I am, I still go down to my merch table a lot. So I get to hear firsthand who was connected with that night.
But when you're on stage, when you're performing, you know, are you augering in and looking?
Sometimes. Yeah. If the stage allows for that, I do. But, you know, I got a lot of things going on at once up there. And I can get sidetracked real easily. So I'm just trying to keep the ship afloat, mostly.
I understand. but what's interesting is me, as somebody in your audience, I'm a solo person listening to a solo person. You know, so if you're hitting it out of the ballpark, you're resonating with my heart and soul as an individual. And I just wonder if you retain that awareness that even though you're performing for a group, at the same time you're performing for one person in the audience. You understand?
I do. I mean, that's what's powerful about it, right? The impact you can have on individuals. I know artists have had impact on me. And so that definitely is, you know, something that's in my mind when I'm performing, and also that makes me want to do the best I can.
And it is a paradox, isn't it?
For sure.
And you forget sometimes that, in a sense, people, metaphorically, they have an ownership in you. Because it's like they feel like a kinship and they're friends with you, even though they've never met you.
Exactly, yeah. There's some social stuff going on a lot of times with musicians and different people. But at the same time, I think, you know, I've made it a point and will continue to make it a point to approach things in an authentic nature. And even though sometimes it is a little strange to connect with a lot of people through that, you know, I think that's going to be the most powerful. And I think the world needs a lot more authenticity out there. And I think that's why people gravitate towards what I do.
Are you hankering to get back on a tractor and get on the back 40 and refresh your soul?
Well, I've been working for a gentleman back in Callaway County, and I'm not on a tractor out there. I'm tending the garden and doing some, like, erosion work around his woods. I haven't been home in a long time, and I'd love to be with my dog and my cat for a minute. I'm really needing some... my family time, which is my dog and cat.
I love it, the special souls.
Absolutely, those little beings you get to walk around with for a little bit.
Well, I could keep you all day, but we've exceeded our allotted time.
Well, I appreciate it. It was great talk.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure and honor. And one last, you had to have a theme song. It's your movie, and the opening credits. What music cut would you choose for your movie?
Oh, well, now that I'm on the road so much, I'd probably say Roll On 18-Wheeler by Alabama, because I feel like a truck driver. But, you know, I think that's a little too hard to question on the spot. But currently, in this moment, I'm definitely just thinking of the highway.
I love it. SG, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. To learn more about your world, where would you direct the listener?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the name of the game now is follow on social media. I personally, even though I'm on all of them, I interact mostly with TikTok and Instagram these days. But if you'd like to support me and my music and you'd like to get my record, you can go to sggoodman.net and find that there and find all my tour dates. I'm going out on my first headline and tour this fall, and I'll be on the East Coast and hope to see some folks out.
Awesome. SG, thank you again.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Bristol, Tennessee, and Virginia. We'll see you here.
Thank you.
I never want to leave this world.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
See you.